underlying these accounts of our Lord's healing ministry is the notion of new creation. It's already the symbolic prophecy of the destiny of the human race through the cross of Christ. That is, to be healed, to be glorious, body and soul forever with God. That's the underlies all this. That's why he manifests, why people, you know, believed in him, and not only just got healed by him. Now, we have finished the letter to the Hebrews, and we're beginning the book of Genesis. And I'm going to try to reflect on it and see whether it's helpful. The reason for this is, remember, this is our Bible. This is God instructing us. Yes, it's the Bible of the Jewish people as well. But it's our Bible. And therefore, and of course, much of it we have to interpret, seeing it, all of it really, in the light of Christ. All of it which is described here takes place through Jesus Christ. Hard to figure out, but over and over again. The letter to the Colossians. Everything is in him and for him. Talking about Christ. So he was already present at creation. Not incarnate, but present. And so this first account, some very great mystic probably put the book of Genesis and the rest together sometime maybe after the exile. But he was working with material that was old. This is not as old as what's going to follow. What we have here is a very profound, poetic, mystical account of the origin of everything. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. The very first thing we say we believe in is the creator of heaven and earth. See, for a biblical view, there is just an infinite distance between God and everything else. Whatever is created is not God, and God is God. This, once it's grasped, the human mind can appreciate, but in fact, no one arrived at that understanding except through revelation, this Jewish understanding. No one arrived at this. And today, you know, most systems of origins, oh, I'm thinking of, you know, Hegel, Deleuze. The mind has to account somehow for the fact that there's anything. Some physicists don't. They just say that's a non-question. We don't have the equipment to answer it. It doesn't make any difference anyway. We start with the Big Bang or whatever you want to start with. It's a non-question. This is one of the fruits of the atheism that began in this way, as I've said before, in the 14th century, and has now become, created the first atheistic culture in the history of the world. There have been pagan cultures. There were many, many people, wise men, not enlightened by God, or not totally anyway, who sought the meaning of everything. And they knew that it was beyond them. But they attributed that to a whole bunch of forces and their interplay, which was always conflict. And out of that conflict comes what we have. Can you see the fallen mind at work there? It doesn't come out of generosity. It comes out of incalculable conflict. Well, where did those conflicting forces, those gods, Apsu, Tiamat, you know, and so forth, where did they come from? That's as far as we can go. Interestingly enough, most modern thinkers who dare to try to attribute an origin have to start like the people 4,000 years ago. It's frightening to see what happens when we lose our grasp on what the scriptures have taught us. We revert right back to paganism, you know, of the kind that we read in the Babylonian or Syrian, Sumerian creation myths. Our minds don't go any further. We wouldn't talk about Apsu and Tiamat and Gilgamesh and Atrahasis, you know. No. But for Hegel, for Deleuze, for many who even bother to approach the question, it's conflict. The origin of everything is conflict. For us who have been graced with revelation, we see that the origin of everything is generosity. Generosity. God is no greater after having created. In fact, the metaphysicians will tell us there's even no more being after God creates. Pure generosity to give us existence. And not just existence, but from the beginning in Christ to have called us to a life with Him, to share His divine life. Not just exist, but to know Him as He knows Himself. That's the gift. The Christian distinction, it's called. The distinction between God and everything else. And it is a great grace to appreciate this. To pray for one glimpse. It'll take your breath away. One glimpse of what it means. God decided, and it was. That's it. That's the God who called us. Infinite, holy, powerful, wise, generous, loving. And because of the sad state of our whole interior, through sin, through interaction with sin, the best we can get is conflict. Or, it's a non-question. Forget it. Start with what we got. But that offends the human mind. That offends the human mind. Well, it's one of these illusions. And what happens? That's where you get despair, meaninglessness. It's this important. As I say, yes, they worshipped forces, you know, the gods. For them, the whole thing is one huge closed system. There's nothing outside the system. There are powerful forces at the top of the system and little forces like us at the bottom of the system. But there's nothing outside the system. And for the Greeks, it was the same. Though they were more sophisticated in some ways, there was a great world soul that kept everything going for the Stoics. And so forth. But it's all part of a system. This is the origin of Gnosticism. It's got to get out of the system somehow because it's a crushing, impersonal, cruel, unpredictable system. This is the origin of all the great cosmic religions, Buddhism, Hinduism. Get out of the system. The system. There's nothing outside the system. They call God the source, you know, the Stoics, for instance, and others. But the source is the source within a system. God Himself is part of the biggest, the best, but part of the system. Do you see the challenge? That makes God a thing. The biggest, the best, the strongest, the whatever, but a thing. Not a person. A thing. He's responsible for all of this. Now you see, the reason why the church says, look folks, let's go back to the basics. This is the first thing we say we believe. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. It's the foundation of everything else. And that's why this mystical, inspired editor, when he was putting this stuff together, lays as its foundation creation. The very first thing you read about. It's not the first text written, but it's the very first thing you read about. And this was the heritage of Israel. Now this man who wrote this text, he models it on a week. First day, second day, third day. Why? Because man is the image of God. You see, as I've said several times, I guess, you know, the system, the cosmos, so forth, the stars, the moon, as our text says, it measures, right? Let there be lights in the dome. Let them mark the fixed times, the days and the years, and serve as luminaries in the dome of the sky to shed light upon the earth. A great gift. But there's one other measure of time. The week. And that is measured by the word of God. Let there be a Shabbat. That's not in the built into the system. It's that one extra system thing that is with us all the time. That's why the Jews are so tough on Shabbat. Because it, you know, it reveals the non-ultimate reality of the system. There's something else. They were mocked in the ancient world. They stopped one day out of seven and didn't work. And worship their God. Well, we all do that. They would not work to witness to the ultimate reality that whatever is created is not God and owes allegiance, love, obedience to God. As you see, our culture has gotten more and more pagan, and the symbol is the crowded malls every Sunday. It's just another day to get stuff done. Because there's only the system, and if you don't stop rowing your boat, it's going to sink, I guess. We have to keep the system going. This is behind the frenetic, frantic pace of life, especially on the east and west coasts of the United States. Frantic. We're holding the whole thing together. And there is no more. There is no meaning outside the system. Now, most people don't think, there's a system and I'm part of the system and there's forces in the system. No, they don't. We're not sophisticated enough. We're too busy making money. But under it, we're saying it's the government, it's the weather, it's the... We have our little forces in the system. They're not Gilgamesh, I mean, or Apsu and Tiamat, and no. But they're the government. Just the weather. That's what makes everything go. No. God makes everything go. And so this man, knowing very well, God spoke and it was. It's in Psalm 33. I mean, he knows that. He makes this out so that the culmination, the high point of all that God makes is Adam. That'll be tomorrow. Adam. And what makes him different? He's the image of God. So he breaks out of the system. Relates to God. That's who we are. And we have this capacity to relate to each other, not just as objects or as commodities, but as persons. All founded on this, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so he goes through the best cosmology of the day. But remember, they're poets and they're mystics. This is more like Dante than it is like a physics book.